You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Isaiah chapter 5. I want to review this month of January. We began on January the first Sunday. I spoke on our adversary. Lauren sang about it with the choir. That old accuser, he accuses you night and day. Our adversary. The next week I spoke from Philippians 4:8. We're to think on these things. That will keep in perfect peace his mind. And this year of 2026, you have to keep your mind always right. Have to keep it godly. That'd be a good place to say amen. Have to keep it spiritual, helping to keep it positive. All those things are so very important. It makes it easier when you preach with me. And then so we talked about our adversary, and then we talked about our thinking. And then last week we spoke about Romans 8:1, our condemnation. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And you know, my heart just condemns myself so often. And that's just a natural thing. Because of our weakness. God says there's no condemnation. And God, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. Thank God for that. Now today, we find ourselves in Isaiah chapter 5. Brother Luke just said to me, what a sad passage. It is a sad passage. It talks about a vineyard. And this vineyard had everything going for it. What was the vineyard? Well, verse 7 tells us what the vineyard was. Verse number 7 says, for the vineyard of the Lord is of hosts, is the, read it together, house of Israel. Israel determined that they were not going to live for God. Today I want to speak to you on fulfilling God's will. God has a will for your life. We quote Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. What is the will of God? Will of God just simply means God has a plan for your life. Amen. God created you with a plan. It's an amazing thing. If we were to shut our eyes right now, and we're not going to, but if we were to shut our eyes, I'd bring maybe 50 people up here to the pulpit. I'd start with Brother Van Dyke, and Brother Van Dyke would just, with your eyes shut, would say, hello, how are you today? Welcome to church. You would know his voice. I know every one of these men's voice. If you're a member of this church and been here any length of time, you would know anyone's voice. But every voice is different. And we're all different. God didn't create you all to be pastors. God didn't create us all to be computer people. God didn't create us all to be in medicine. God didn't create us all to be in law enforcement. But God created all of us for his purpose. And God has a will for your life. Are you in the center of Israel? There's nothing wrong with being a carpenter if you're in the will of God. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being a physical worker in a restaurant, being a waitress or a waiter. Nothing wrong with that if you're in the will of God. Here we have a people, the Israelites, that stepped out of the will of God. Stepping out of the will of God always brings terrible consequences. God wants to use you today. And I want you to see in this text as we open it up today, I want you to see the vineyard started out so well. Look what the Bible says. I will sing to my well-beloved a song. My beloved is touching his vineyard. My well-beloved at the vineyard, very fruitful hill. So this vineyard was on a fruitful hill. Verse 2, he fenced it. Why did he fence it? To keep the wild animals out. He fenced it. He protected it. He gathered out the stones thereof. He planted it with the choices of vine. He built a tower in the midst and also a wine press and look that it should bring forth grapes. Stop right there. This vineyard started out so great. It reminds me of the two Sauls in the Bible. King Saul, and in the Old Testament, and the New Testament, Saul, who became Paul. You know, kids up here, the Old Testament Saul started off so good. He was taller than anybody. He was goodly to look upon. He was the first king of Israel. He said, God, I need your help. And God turned him into another man, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 9. God changed his life. He had everything going for him. The Spirit of God came upon him. He was a great king for one chapter. And then he started messing around with the witch of Endor. He got jealous over David, tried to kill him repeatedly. Got jealous over his son Jonathan, tried to kill him. And his life ended. An Amalekite killed him on Mount Gilboa. The Bible says nothing's going to grow on that mountain, and nothing grows on Mount Gilboa to this day. He started off so right. He ended up so bad. Let's move over to the New Testament, Saul. Saul started off so wrong. He was hailing women and men and children against Jesus Christ. He was putting them in prison and consenting unto the death. And he even had Deacon Stephen was murdered, and they laid his bloody clothes at his feet. But chapter 9 of the book of Acts is the great chapter. He's going to Damascus. On the way, he's gonna go hurt some more Christians. And a light shone down, and he fell down at his feet, and he was struck and blind that he could not see. And he got saved. And his life went from bad to good. We've got people in here this morning, you're on drugs. I know you are. I saw a few of you already, and I've met you, and I've talked to you. And you're battling drugs. And I ache for you. I do. I ache for you. I don't have any idea what that must be like. You're in church because, you know what? You, there's a spiritual part of you wanting to get right with God. Amen. And then there's that weak side. Some of you in this room are battling alcohol. And you're an alcoholic. I don't understand that. But I certainly can comprehend the struggle you must be going through. You're one of those people that you're not starting off too good, are you? Some of you have a jail record, a prison record. You've not started off the best. Oh, but I can tell you good news. Child of God, you get saved and you can end right. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to end like the Old Testament Saul. You can end like the New Testament Saul. This vineyard started off so good. It had every benefit. It was fenced. All the stones were removed. There was a wine press. There was a tower in the middle observing everything to make sure everything was right. God has a will for your life. It's a perfect will. But we mess up his will. That's what happened here. Look at the last few verses of chapter 5, verse 2. Verse 2, and it brought forth, what's the word? Wild grapes. Had everything going for it. You know, I see that it started so well and ended so bad. I find, secondly, that it determined to do its own thing. We are so determined to do our own thing. Well, I'll confess it later. I'll get it right later. I don't want to live this way, but I love what my flesh loves. My flesh is so corrupt. Romans chapter 8 deals with the flesh and the spirit. And my flesh wants to do wrong, wants to do its own thing. It's prideful, it's arrogant. My flesh! But then there's a spirit part of me. And that spirit wants to do so right. But which one I yield to is the one that always is the victor. I must yield myself to God, amen, not to my flesh. Amen. I must say, God, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee as a crossing. And he walks with me. I need to walk with God this week. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. That's where God wants me. He wants me walking with him. Amen. The Bible says that this vineyard determined, I'm going to do what I want to do. And it grew wild grapes. You can grow all the wild grapes you want, but you're coming to judgment. That's what's going to happen here. Judgment's coming. My Bible says, thirdly, there's a question. Verse number 4, what? This is God speaking. Let's read verse 4, the first part, to the word vineyard. Ready? Begin. What could have been done more? Read it one more time, will you? What could have been done? What could have God done? He fenced it. He guarded it. He put a tower in it, in the midst of it. It was all taken care of. It was on a fruitful hill. It was good irrigation. There was good fertilizer. Everything was great. What more could I have done for you? And I want to say to you and to me today, we live in the greatest country in all the world. What more could have God done for us? We live in America, the only country in the world that they're trying to get in. They're not trying to get in China. No. They're not trying to get in Russia. No. They're not trying to get in Venezuela. No. They're trying to get in America. And at this point, we have a president that said, no, you're not coming. You can come legally. You cannot sneak into this country. I wonder, have you ever considered that God let you be in America, not Iran? I don't know the number. The number fluctuates all over 5,000, 20,000 people that the Ayatollah in the last 3 weeks has he shot and murdered and hung. You know, during the Iran war that we had, Afghanistan war, all those, during that war, you know the average soldier carrying those whatever they are, those big weapons, the average soldier was 15 years old. 15! How many 15-year-olds here today? Just raise your hand, 15-year-olds. Look at that. Man, you imagine, what is it, an AK-47, is that the number? Walking around with an AK-47 shooting people? God's let you live in America. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. I mean, we walk around, and I'm not making fun of this, I'm a pair of myself. We walk around with our Nike shoes and our Nike apparel and our cell phones. And I thank God for all of it. I thank God for what you have. I'm not belittling it. But we have everything at our disposal. We have free education. And we have Christian education if you want. We have it all. And we get to go to bed at night not worried about our home being invaded. We live in America. God bless America. What more could God have done? America is rejecting God. You saw the report this week of Britain. Britain is no longer, our homeland is no longer our homeland. It's a Muslim country. They had more deaths in Britain last year than they had births. Because of abortion, they've aborted 10 million people, and now they have trouble. So they said, we've got to grow our society so we'll have the immigrants come in. And they brought all the immigrants from Muslim countries, and now the Muslims run Europe. We live in America, where we still can vote on a president, a vice president, senators, congressmen. We still have that right. What more could have I done for you? What more, youth department? What more did you need? I mean, you have everything. And God's word says, I see folks from other countries shaking their head. You understand what I'm talking about. You folks from China, I see you shaking. We got some men back here from Iran, two wonderful Christian men, been saved. And they're just so heartbroken. They said, we don't know about our family. They shut the communication. We don't know if our families are dead or alive in Iran tonight.
Yeah. Preach on.
My Bible says there's a question. God says, what more could have I done? I gave you your will. I gave my will to you. What more could have I done? Verse number 5 and 6. Well, he said, verse 5, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. It shall be eaten up and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Verse number 6, I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or digged. There shall come up briars and thorns, and I will command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. God says, I'm going to judge you. You know, Brother Mark, if we don't wake up in America real fast, if we don't wake up in America real fast, we're not going to have this freedom. We get to worship in this auditorium, a 3,000-seat auditorium. We get to worship in freedom. The lower floor is filled. The balconies are filled today. We get to worship God. We get to sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Oh, Brother Martin, I'm glad you sang there under the blood. I'm glad the choir sang so beautifully today. Glad the special music sang so beautifully. Thank God for heaven. We have a responsibility.
Yes, sir.
You need to find the will of God for your life. That's why you were created.
Yes.
And then fulfill the will of God and finish the will of God.
It.
I feel like I'm going to still live a long life.
Amen.
I'm healthy. I'm strong. I believe I'm going to live a long life. But anyway, I look at my life is basically used up. And I want to tell you something. I'm so glad I said yes to God. 55 years ago, when God, I said, God, you've got the wrong person. I can't speak. I stutter when I get nervous. On the radio, I get nervous. I start talking too fast and I start stuttering still. I just laugh about it now. Brother Bill, my wife discovered she thinks that I have dyslexia. Well, don't tell her, but she's right. That's why I have someone else read the Bible. I pull words in from down here up here, and I put words in that don't, I did that. I said, I'm going to read this verse, and I put a word in there that wasn't even in there. God can't use me. Oh, God can use me. Because he said, I'll take the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. Everyone in this room is smarter than your pastor.
Yes.
Your degree, we have over 100 people in medicine in this church. Mm. I think of all of you, you know so much more than I will ever know. I was going to be a medical doctor my freshman year of high school. And I took that class where you had to dissect things. And I said, Lord, I can't even cut into this animal, a frog, whatever. So how am I going to cut into a person? And so I stopped that. I'm not going to be a doctor. You know, you people in the computer field are so smart. You're way, way above me. You're looking at the only pastor in America that does not know how to turn a computer on. And I'm not going to learn because I'm a good Christian. You're very smart. But are you as smart as your pastor that I decided I want the will of God for my life?
Amen.
My wife and I can say it's been such a joy serving God together. It's been the joy of our life.
Yes, sir.
Maybe you're supposed to be a bus driver. These kids come to church. They need a driver to drive them in. We have 29 routes. We have all the shuttle buses going out every service. We need drivers. We need bus captains. We need prayer warriors in this church. Amen. We've got all these missionaries in all these fields. We need prayer warriors for the missionaries. We've got all these Bible college students here. Somebody's going to have to get very anxious about praying for their that they'll sense the need to say yes to God.
Amen.
They're right on the verge. They're done with elementary. They're done with junior high. They're done with high school. And now soon they're going to be done with college. They're going to have to figure out what does God want for my life and then do it a lifetime.
Yes.
My dear brother Moore, he played the trumpet here every Sunday. He was a good trumpeter.
Amen.
He's not here today. He and his wife are their opening Sunday.
Amen.
Opening Sunday in a little town of 6,000 people in Montana.
Amen.
It's freezing there. I hope it freezes real hard so that he knows he made a mistake leaving our place here. It's freezing there. In a town of 6,000, they're so happy. He's in the center of God's will.
Amen.
Are you? God's done everything for you. Are you in the center of God's will? Father, I love these people. I love them so much. And I want the best for them in their lives. I pray that they'd understand the will of God. Your will is not for them to be drunks and alcoholics. Your will is not to be drug addicts. Your will is not for them to run from God. Your will is you love them and you want them to fulfill the will of God for their life. I pray that every man, every woman, every teenager would fulfill your will.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.